Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our sermon text for today comes from Luke chapter 10, especially these words. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." We're a lot like Martha, aren't we? Anxious and troubled about many things. We look at the world around us, we peer into our own lives, and we cannot help but get anxious and troubled. We look at the state of our country. We're anxious and troubled about who might get elected this year, or how our leaders will interact with other countries and other powers in the world. Or we're worried about how our government might interpret documents that are supposed to govern our people, or how the laws in our land may change one way or another. We're anxious and troubled. And not just these things, right? We're anxious and troubled about our finances. We hear the word inflation. We hear the word recession. And we wonder how it's going to affect our budget. We wonder how it's going to affect our way of life. We might become anxious about how our retirement fund seems to be holding up. Maybe you're anxious about finding a job. Maybe you're anxious about losing a job. Maybe you're anxious about retiring from a job. We have car payments, mortgages, medical expenses, and not to mention all of the other unexpected repairs and emergencies that are sure to surface in the near future. We're anxious and troubled about our families. Children, grandchildren, we want to ensure that our family is provided for physically, sure, of course, but also emotionally, also spiritually. We're troubled about the world that they may have to live in the future, the world that they're growing up in now. What sort of influence does a sin-filled world have on the belief system that we're trying to impart to our children or those we love? We don't need to have a show of hands to realize that most of us know someone that we care very deeply about who does not attend church or does not believe in Jesus. In fact, we're even anxious about the church. What is this place going to look like in the next generation or the generation after that? We're anxious and troubled about our time. Why does it always seem that we have so little? Why is it that we can look back on our life and it seems like it was simply a blink of an eye? We're anxious about how life is flitting by or how we need to manage work and family and still have time left over for entertainment and relaxation and whatever hobbies we have. Not to mention, who knows how much time any of us have left? Weeks, months, years? None of us can be certain. There are any number of things. Now, honestly, these are just the big things that's kind of common to all human beings. And I can't even peer into each and every one of your own lives where you have problems and things to be anxious about that are literally tailor-made just for you. But there are so many things that pop up in our life that make us just like Martha. We're anxious and we're troubled about many things. It's frustrating. And honestly, it's exhausting. And it leads us to wonder, Lord, do you not care about all of these things that need to be taken care of? Lord, do you not care about the anxieties and troubles in my life? Lord, where is the solution? And the Lord answers, one thing is necessary. The good portion, which will not be taken away. And what is that good portion? What is that one thing that is necessary except Jesus? Jesus and his word, Jesus and his teaching, Jesus crucified and risen for you. Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the one thing necessary because he comes as your servant. All you who are anxious and troubled about many things, he invites you to sit at his feet and hear his word. And that word comes in different forms. Certainly, it is a word of law, a word of warning, a word that you should watch out not to live a life of unrepentance, but to live a life according to his word. All right, to put aside your evil desires, your evil thoughts, your evil deeds, and instead live a life of righteousness. And for those of you who recognize the magnitude of your sin and the fact that really we're not good at this whole righteousness thing, his words are also those of encouragement, words of strength, words of forgiveness, words that will help you in your battle against sin and the devil. But Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the deliverer of these words, and he has prepared everything perfectly. Everything. Jesus comes to this earth, born of a virgin. He lives a perfect life. He dies for you. He sheds his blood, breathes his last breath. That way you can have eternal life. He's given you the church. This church, in fact, where you have ample opportunity to sit at his feet, hear his word, understand the scriptures as they are taught from the Holy Bible. Here, Jesus has prepared a meal for you. He serves you with his very body and blood to forgive your sins and strengthen your faith. Jesus has given you the waters of baptism that quenches your thirst for righteousness. And Jesus even comes today to declare that you are forgiven. Full and free. This is what Jesus' death and resurrection grants you. This is what you have in his blood. It is your forgiveness, your life, your salvation. You have a sure and certain testimony of God that he will sustain you. That there is nothing at all in this life to be anxious and troubled about. So why are you anxious and troubled? Jesus is still in control of the world. Remember, as Jesus ascends into heaven, why does he do so? That's that he can rule the entire earth and he can rule the entire heavens. And it means that nothing happens in this life apart from his knowledge. Nothing happens in this life apart from him allowing it to happen. Whether good or bad, it's for your benefit. If we learn at Jesus' feet, everything else will be taken care of. He will uphold you. He will grant you every good thing because he has promised. You may remember in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to exit Luke 10 here and jump over to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus shares these words. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus knows what you're anxious about. Jesus knows what you're troubled about. And he promises that he will grant you strength in the midst of them. That he will give you his blessing and nothing can take it away. Because Jesus gives you the one thing that is necessary. He gives you the good portion because he gives you himself. And thereby you have eternal life. Our present suffering is nothing compared to the eternal glories that await us when we go to be with our Savior. All right, let's pause there for a minute. That's Mary. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Mary knows the good portion. She wants to receive from Jesus' word. And I hope you all do too. But what about Martha? Something needs to be said about Martha. Mary chooses the good portion, but don't for a second think that there is no opportunity for you to serve like Martha. Certainly, if there's ever an option, right, I can either go hear God's word or I can still be out there serving in some capacity, serving the Lord, you know, serving my neighbor in God's name. Don't do that. Choose the good portion. Choose the place where you get to hear God's teaching. However, there are times in your life where God calls you to serve. And that's especially with those who are closest to you. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, and so on and so forth. You are called to serve. So don't be lazy. Don't think I've heard the word of the Lord and I just get to keep it all in there for myself. No, the word is supposed to come into our ears, reside in our hearts, and then make its way out of our lips and our hands. So yes, you are called to receive. You're called to learn at Jesus' feet first. But then we take that out into our lives as we serve those around us. However, we only serve if Jesus first serves us. We only live a godly life because Jesus has first lived the perfect life for us. And so the good portion, the one thing necessary, the most important thing is listening. Listening more than laboring. Being served by God more than serving Him. Because Jesus is the good portion. For He opens eternal life for you through His death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, your anxieties, and your troubles in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.